Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks for April 17th. Today is the People's Parliament and we are now in session. I'm Sanka Price, your moderator for this session, which adjourns at 2 p.m. Our operator is Mr. Graeme Vaughan, and you can participate in this session by calling us at 4341790 or via WhatsApp at 266-4862. The topic for today's session is Wither the Social Services. To share with us their political party's positions or proposal on this issue, we have so far Mr. Daniel Chabot, and he's from Solutions Barbados, the candidate for St. James Central, and Reverend Joseph Atherley, the Barbados Labour Party candidate for St. Michael West Central. Gentlemen, welcome to the People's Parliament.
Thank you very much.
Before we speak with our prospective parliamentarians, I'd like to share with you why today's topic was chosen. Barbados has one of the most comprehensive social safety nets in the developing world. And since independence, successive governments have spent billions of dollars to ensure these envious services remain available and effective for generations of Barbadians. For the purposes of this discussion, we have identified the social services as the following. The benefits provided on the National Insurance Scheme, such as pensions, sickness, maternity, disability, funeral grants, survivor benefits, and unemployment. Day nursery services, welfare and national assistance, subsidized housing and lands through the National Housing Corporation, free sanitation services, that's free collection of garbage, etc., free public transportation for pensioners and primary and secondary school children in uniform and subsidized bus fares for the remainder of the population, free health care through the polyclinics and the Queen Elizabeth Hospital and the provision of pharmaceuticals through the Barbados Drug Service, free primary and secondary education, and about 80% of the total cost of educating students at the University of the West Indies. This is an exhaustive list of social services. No wonder we were all called the gem of the Barbados, was called the gem of the Caribbean, and was right. The envy of everyone. But to ensure that we have some order in our discussion, we will invite each participant to give a general outline of the party's position on our social services, and then we will focus on the most critical areas. And we'll do this after this commercial break.
Soca Kingdom.
Barbados, get ready.
Soca Kingdom.
As we take soca to another level.
Soca Kingdom.
With Soca Royalty.
Farcom Network, in association with Cropover City, presents
Soca Ignition.
Ready.
Saturday, June 2nd, be in the Soca Kingdom at Bagatelle Great House from 9 p.m. and rev it up with Soca Royalty. From Trinidad and Tobago, three-time international soca monarch, Voice.
From your wake up this morning.
Four-time Chutney Soca Monarch, Ravi B. The Soca King of New York, Lyrical.
If like it, I could dance tonight.
Plus the best of Bajan Soca Royalty.
Oh yes, the water rock.
Early bird tickets are now available at $60 general and $250 VIP. From Lucky Horseshoe, Bridgetown, Lawrence, Worthing and Bagatelle, CS Pharmacy, Bridgetown, A&B Music Supply, Sheraton, Smart Store, Lime Grove, Eddie Supermarket, Spikestown, Little Munchkin, Sky Mall, and Starcom Network on River Road. Soca Ignition! Saturday, June 2nd at the Soca Kingdom, Bagatelle Great House. We're revving up with Soca Royalty, so get your tickets now! Soca Ignition is powered by Jewel's Whiskey, True Scotch, Heineken, Infinity on the Beach Hotel, KFC, Mount Gay Rum, Remy Martin 1738, and Hot 95.3 FM.
You see the party there? The party lit!
Welcome back to the People's Parliament. Sanka Price here with you. And in the studio, we have Bishop Joseph Atherley from the Barbados Labour Party and Mr. Daniel Chabot of the Solutions Barbados. And he's the candidate for St. James Central. And we are discussing with the social services just now before the break. I outlined the multitude of social services that we have here in Barbados. And as I said, what we're going to do is, since there's so many, and for the easy discussion, we'll focus on a few very critical areas that will be major in going forward. But before we get to that, what we'll do first is to let each person here, each potential candidate here, outline their party's position on the social services. Just let me say, my understanding is that the Democratic Labour Party will be sending no representative today, and that Ms. Lynette Eastman, the leader of the United Progressive Party, is on the way, so she should be here shortly. I start with you, Mr. Daniel Shalbo.
Yes, well, I'm Daniel Shalbo, and I represent the constituency of St. James Central, and I am for Solutions Barbados. Now, all of our policy solutions have been posted online and on our manifesto, and they're available for viewing at solutionsbarbados.com. And what we're proposing for all of the public service departments is actually, at this point of time, we have a hemorrhage in these departments, and we propose to stop the bleeding. And this is not by putting a plaster on a cut. This is actually surgery and stitches for every public service department. And we propose, when we do that, say for example, the transport board system, we want to get all of the buses that are available to Barbados to have them tendered by workshops, small workshops, so they could actually fix one at a time, because there are two major workshops right now that are actually tendered to fix all of these buses, and I think it's too much. So therefore, after that, we will propose to implement the ISO 9001 quality management system on all the public service departments as well.
You have another 2 minutes. You can go.
Okay.
Two more minutes. Yes.
Okay, well, thank you. So the ISO 9001 basically is a standard operating procedure system whereby it is created to keep everyone accountable. So if there's a system from moving one thing from one place to another, there's a standard operating procedure for that. That is documented. And then the person working in that department would actually sign off on being trained in that position. And if it is not done the way it is documented, then a form of non-compliance is then filled out. And then the issue that was done wrongly, not complying with the actual standard operating procedure, then that would be documented, and then it would be easily identified as well. So therefore, the ISO would keep accountability within our public service departments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shalbo. And now, Bishop Joseph Hatherley from the Barbados Labour Party.
Good morning to you, Sanka. And that is St. Michael West and not West Central. Morning, Graham. Morning, Daniel,
whom
I'm meeting for the first time here.
Good morning to you.
Morning to the listening public, of course, and especially to those in St. Michael West. Very important topic. And Sanka, you'll forgive me. I really didn't want to be negative today, but this thing grates me a bit. I have observed over the series of programs that the government has chosen either to have representatives attend these sessions 1 hour late or thereabouts, or on a couple of occasions, as is the case today, not at all. And believe me, I can't understand for the life of me why a government, especially on the eve of the election, would not want to come and defend its record, its program on an important areas such as social services in Barbados, and also spell out his vision for the way forward for the people of Barbados. That just grates me, and I couldn't help but mention that. I think that is too glaring a delinquency and dereliction of duty not to be spoken of. One of the significant laments, Sanka, over the last 10 years or so under the current administration is that the economic inertia and malaise that we've experienced as a nation have brought us to a point of peril. That point of peril being we are virtually at a stage where we are unable, because of our economic situation, to respond to the social service needs of Barbados, Barbadian people adequately, and to make address of the social challenges which are facing us today. Barbados is not only an economy, it is a society. And therefore, while we wrestle with the economic issues, we need to understand that very critical are the social service-related issues and challenges arising out of our societal experience on a daily basis. And to be found to be in a position not to be able to respond to these issues to me at this time is almost heartbreaking. We must always bear in mind, I think, Sanka, that the gains of economic growth are going to be voided, made null and void, unless they result in meaningful national development for the country. And that national development must itself reflect increased opportunity for our people and improve life chances for Barbadians. And so I think it's very important that as we talk about economic issues, as we have been over time, that we focus on these social policy and social service related issues. And we have a philosophical framework in which our social policy is set as a mature, responsible political party in Barbados. And we have a values platform upon which those policies are set as well. We believe very strongly, fervently, that policies and programs relative to social services,
30 more seconds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Must go beyond notions of the welfarist tendencies and initiatives which we have traditionally pursued. We must be strategic and embrace and actualize measures for sustained empowerment and enablement of our people. Social justice is a core value. The pursuit of social justice is a core value of the Barbados Labour Party that has constituted the core of our social policy platform for the past 80 years.
All right, thank you very much, Bishop Atherley. What I want us to do today is to focus on these five primary areas. One would be national insurance, look at the sanitation services, of course, public transportation, of course, health care, and education. And so we have three and a half hours. And what I'm going to do in terms of looking at the specific areas for national insurance, I'm going to pose a number of questions for some of these areas. And then we're, of course, going to have an interaction with our callers as well as on the WhatsApp, because a number of people here have already started to post questions on this. So we start out first with national insurance. And question, as the population ages, there are more cases of disablement. What are the party's plans for retooling and reintegrating persons back into the workforce? You want to tackle that first, Mr. Chablot?
Well, yes. I mean, as I said, I just want to say that I didn't come into Solutions Barbados as a politician. I am a businessman, and now I am a politician. I do care deeply about the Barbadian people, and my main objective as a person in politics right now is to get Barbados back on track. What we are planning to do for our public service departments, as I said, is to run them properly. It is all a question of management. What is best for the Barbadian people? We care about the Barbadian people. We want the best for the Barbadian people. And as I said before, once we implement a proper standard operating procedure in all the public service departments, okay, they would run properly. They would be well managed. I manage a business in the private sector. I started this business with $0. Actually, I first made my $300.
All right, sir, forgive me for cutting you, but let's focus here. I want us to be really specific because of the amount of questions that are coming in, the amount of calls that we're going to be getting, and we already have calls. So if you want to pass on a question, no problem. But we're dealing with the NAS, and we're dealing with the population is right. Aging, the people are becoming more disabled, and I want to find out what solutions Barbados is thinking about in terms of retooling and reintegrating persons, but those persons who would have been disabled back into the workforce. You know that we have a problem with the aging society. We know we have a problem with disability. Right. So we have to look at how we're going to get these people who can be productive, because something may be wrong with your legs or your arms, but your brain is still functioning and you can still function in the society in a very productive way. So that's really the thrust of the question.
Correct.
Want to take the question directly? You want to pass? Bishop Atherley.
Sanka, thank you. Sometimes the notion of affirmative action takes on a negative connotation in some people's minds. But part of the platform of the Barbados Labour Party going forward will be somewhat of an affirmative action program with reference to the disabled community in Barbados. The issue of public procurement is always a very important one when we come to it in terms of our discussion. And we believe as a party very strongly that we need to ensure that there's some sort of affirmative action that gives people who are members of the disabled community, who are in business of supply of products or services, the benefit of opportunity of public procurement. Mm-hmm. We believe that we need to have non-discriminatory equal opportunity legislation for the disabled. For a long time in Barbados, we have talked about quotas relative to public sector employment, and certainly that is part of the Barbados Labour Party platform. Tax relief for specially designed vehicles which cater to the transport or use of the disabled community, and small grants, for instance, to facilitate the adapting of the workplace environment to the accommodation of persons who suffer from disabilities. So there were three or four, five or six very positively strong areas of focus for us in the Barbados Labour Party.
Okay. Well, I'll start with, you know, Bishop Adley, and then come back to Mr. Shalbo. With the death of a spouse, the household income of retirees is often significantly reduced, resulting in poverty for the household. What is the party's plans to address this issue?
I know in the bosom of the Barbados Labour Party, we discussed the matter of pensions for widowed spouses, and the provision is being made that widows could continue to benefit from the pension of a spouse who is lost to death. These types of occurrences in family situations can quickly reduce one from a position of economic well-being to genteel poverty or poverty, downright poverty. And we believe that mechanisms should be put in place to help people tie themselves through that period of time when they're suddenly affected by such a loss. We believe that type of measure is significant.
Thank you, Mr. Shalvo. Should I repeat the question?
Yes, please. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. With the death of a spouse, the household income of retirees is often significantly reduced, resulting in poverty for the household. What is the party's, what is the Solutions Barbados plans to address this issue?
Well, we will certainly put positions in place that this would, you know, benefit the household in the best way it can. So, I mean, I can't answer directly to the question in the way you may want me to answer to it. All I know is that by implementing what we are planning to do for the social service departments, all of these positions will be better for Barbadian people, because that is our proposition. This is what we are proposing as a party. We are proposing to make a better Barbados for Barbadians. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right. The next question on NIS, and we have two more questions on NIS. There's a growing trend of persons suffering from dementia who are unable to take care of themselves and their family members, and family members are fighting over the person's pension. What are the plans to address this issue? I'll repeat, okay? There is a growing trend of persons suffering from dementia who are unable to take care of themselves, and family members tend to fight over that individual's pensions. What are the plans to address this issue?
Okay.
Is that with you?
Yes, of course. And we will be looking at that a lot closely, because we could only go by what is already there, and then we can obviously improve on it. So, we will make assessment of what the issues are right now. And then we would say, well, you know, we can improve the system by doing X, Y, and Z. We will document that, and we will see how we can do better with it, and therefore keep documenting it until we get to the desired space that we want to be in regarding this as well.
Thank you. Bishop Adley, should I repeat the question, or do you think you have it?
Well, I think we need to firm up legislation with respect to the elderly and the issue of elder abuse in Barbados. You have limited your question to focus on people who suffer from dementia, but it is a problem which is wider than that. Dementia, yes, is a big part of the issue, but just the fact of being elderly, less physically able, you find yourself dependent on care of others who sometimes, and thankfully not in the majority of cases, we have unscrupulous characters who would want to take advantage of that situation. And therefore, that legislation must be firmed up to deal with any form of elder abuse, whether it's physical abuse, sexual abuse, if that is involved, and also abuse of the confidence, if we put it like that, of the elderly person in terms of how you handle their resources, because they cannot do it themselves. So I think we're providing largely for a response to elder abuse. I think also on the other side of the issue is the matter of looking to see how we can better improve a lot of those who render the care. And so we're talking about allowances for people who have the responsibility of caring for elderly folks. This is a very important issue in Barbadian society, Sanka. I still believe, I'm from the old school, I still believe a nation is judged in terms of its worth as a nation by how it treats its elderly, by how it looks after its minors and the more vulnerable in society. I think Barbados has had a good record, but there have been too many examples, glaring examples of abuse. And we will respond to that abuse by legislation, but also by providing incentives to those who give care.
All right, thank you. And the final question, and this will include now the welfare department as well as National Insurance Suggestion. There's a phenomenon of generations of a family relying on the welfare department for payment of bills, etc. What are your party's plans for helping these families to acquire employment? Chabot, I'll start with you.
Well, not only to acquire employment, but even more is, you know, we're proposing to give the Barbadian people a subservient amount of water and electricity for free, and whoever decides to go over this minimum, obviously that would that rate would be increased to subsidize for the free water and electricity provided for the person. Therefore, you know, all Barbadians would be able to enjoy free water and free electricity at a minimum. So, but if you choose now to, you know, put in an air conditioner and three freezers in the house, obviously that's going to go over the minimum, and then that person would end up paying for the free water and electricity enjoyed by Barbadians. Also, we are proposing to provide a credit card that'll be redeemable at the Agricultural Society, where the people on welfare will be able to purchase fruits and vegetables, and then that would be topped up every week. But we don't want to encourage, you know, a culture of handouts as well. We want to also encourage people and teach them basically how to make money, you know, based on the materials that they already have, you know, because they may have a household. So we would want to train them in workshops and even sexual education, even teaching them, well, if they have a washing machine and water in their house, maybe they could wash, you know, clothes for the people in their village or their neighborhood, or ironing or something like that. So we want to encourage people. We want to teach people how to fish. We don't want to give them one fish.
I just want to take you up here. You said you don't want to have a culture of handouts, but yet at the same time you're giving free water and free electricity. How does that work?
What I'm saying is at the beginning, because you know we want to introduce this welfare system, but you know moving forward we want to also encourage people to get out of it. So the free water and electricity is just a service that we want to offer to all Barbadians, and this would be rich
and poor. But nothing in Barbados is free. We say free in that is free at point of delivery, but there is a cost.
Yes, correct.
And as one of the points that, in fact, I think Bishop Adley made the point, the economic malaise that we've been going through for the last several years is impacting our social services delivery. That's essentially the point that he was making.
Yeah, so it is true. Yeah,
so there
is a cost, and I said the increase of rate, and whoever decides to go over the minimum will cover the cost.
Okay, all right, sir. Mr. Joe Bishop Atherley, I'll just repeat the question. There's a phenomenon of generations of a family or families relying on welfare department for payment of bills, etc. What are the party's plans for helping these families to acquire employment?
Well, I guess you don't have to tell me about that sense of dependence that seems to exist out there and experienced by many people. I see it, I hear it, I feel it. have to try and respond to it on a daily basis, even up to this morning before I came here. And it's gotten progressively worse in the last few years. We believe in the Barbados Labour Party that we've got to try to move people from total welfare dependency to a place, a better sense of, a better place of well-being, economic well-being for sure. And therefore, policies that we adopt are premised upon that sense of vision, that philosophy, that we have to move people so that they can help themselves to the extent that they're able to. We also believe very much in the importance of family as a bedrock of our society. And if families are fragmenting and disintegrating because of the economic stress, that spells potential trouble for our society at large and our nation. So we want to respond to that. So we believe you have to grow the economy. If you grow the economy, more people benefit from opportunity. We have had a situation in the last 10 years or so where there has not been any growth in Barbados to speak of, and the result is the negative impact you're seeing in part as well. The result in part is the negative impact you're seeing upon family and the family stresses that people suffer. So it's a question of growing the economy so that you may have more people brought into opportunity. But we believe that we have to have specifically targeted programs that will give people the opportunity to not only fend for themselves, but to do well. And we have some specifically targeted community programs, apprenticeship partnership schemes, which we help, which we believe will not only bring people into job opportunity, help them to go go in their own business eventually, but you're preserving long-held Barbadian skills, which we are in danger of losing. Let me illustrate, and I'm referring specifically to this, but this is illustrative. Sanka, you and I grew up in a society where at Christmas time, one of the prominent smells in the community is that of baking bread. We don't have that anymore. Bank holiday comes around, Price Mart is the place to go and to be, and I hope that does not constitute an ad.
A very big ad, too.
A big ad. They pay for it. They can. On the takings from bread sales alone. But skills, joinery, carpentry, masonry, upholstering, other skills that we are in danger of losing. Mm-hmm. We have some masters in our community, people who have been doing this for years. Let's get an apprenticeship program together. We can bring new recruits to those who are skilled, long doing these jobs, and let them develop a skill, help to preserve the skill and the craft, but it benefits them. They learn something, they come off the block, they do a job, they earn some income, they're able to help their family. We believe that this business of contractual services in which government has to engage on a daily basis must cease to include only those who are rich, famous, and already well off. But some of these contractual services must be shaved down to the level where what we call the small groups or small people, the small man in the community, can benefit from some of these contracts. The Barbados Labour Party will also establish a target minimum level income for families, bringing together elements of, yes, social and economic welfare benefits, also the reverse tax credits, and a minimum wage. So a combined package which includes these elements to address.
All right, thank you very much, Bishop Atherley. While Bishop Atherley was speaking, we were joined by Ms. Lynette Eastman of the United Progressive Party. She's, of course, the candidate for the city of Bridgetown. But we'll take a commercial break, and then when we come back, we'll hear from Ms. Eastman, get an outline from Ms. Eastman, and then we'll go to our phone lines.
Hello, Better Health magazine readers. We know you love our sex plane column, so guess what? Now you can send us your sex-related queries and be featured in the sex plane column. Simply email sexplanedbarbados@gmail.com. It's confidential and reliable. Read Sex Explained each month in the Better Health magazine. Live better with better health.
VOB 92.9 FM wants you to enjoy the sweet life for 1 year. 1 year. One lucky VOB listener will win a year of easy living. Thanks to Esso, Energy Lives Here. Flow, always connected, always faster. KFC, finger licking good. Laurie Dash Craft Shop, the original craft shop on Bay Street for quality products and the best prices. Accents and decor, your space, your style, and LED illuminations, a brighter, greener future. Sweet life in VOB country.
Welcome back. As I said, it's the People's Parliament, and we're focusing with the social services, and we've outlined a number of the social services that we'll be focusing on today. And as I told you, we've been joined by Ms. Lynette Eastman of the United Progressive Party.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Sanka, for having me.
Oh, pleasure's always mine. What I want you to do now for the whole of Barbados is to outline your party's policies in on position on the social services in Barbados.
Well, what I would like to do is have an overall view of social services. Let us look at that, because I believe that in Barbados, people are of the view that in 2018, we're ready for a reset. So I think we need to look at why we have social services in the first place, and that would be very important to this discussion. Social services are meant to be there for the benefit of the community of people who live in a state. And there are certain objectives that those social services seek to meet. They include good health, access to knowledge, human rights, human security, a decent standard of living, non-discrimination, dignity, and self-determination. And these are principles that have been adopted by the United Nations, and these principles are the underpinning of their Human Development Index, which, as you know, they produce this every year. So when we have that as a background, we can then look to see what our objectives should be in every single social service environment. And we can also look to see if we are meeting those objectives and what we're doing in terms of social services. And while it is that Barbadians tend to recognize, and governments in the past have recognized issues like access to health care, I'm not sure if it's so much good health, but certainly access to health care, because it is questionable whether we promote the good health of our population as a priority, as opposed to starting with issues like attending the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, when really we should be seeking to put our people in a position where they do not have to go there unless there's an accident, but certainly not for issues like non-communicable diseases that can be addressed. But there are also other points like non-discrimination, the dignity of the human person, and self-determination, which perhaps our governments in the past have not pursued seriously. So then when we look at the individual social services, we must look to see if we're meeting those objectives. For the United Progressive Party, the most important policy platform for us is the community platform. And much of the social services can be enhanced significantly if they're decentralized and if many of these services can find themselves within a framework within the community itself. And that is why our community development, our parish development is, I think, the most important aspect of our platform other than economic development. And as we will recognize, both of them, the two of them go hand in hand. The social services are linked to the development of the economy. If you have well-educated, healthy people with high self-esteem, access to public goods and services without discrimination, and in a manner that they can maintain their dignity, well, then we would see that the economy would start to flourish as well. So I would say that our main plank having to do with social services, and as you pointed out, we will go into these social services individually and in more detail. So I start out then with that broad policy objective in terms of social services.
Thank you very much, Ms. Eastman. And it's very interesting that you should talk about taking it from that perspective, because between 1990 and 2015, the Human Development Index in Barbados was measured, and it showed how life expectancy had increased. In fact, basically, Barbados has done extremely well in terms of our Human Development Index. And so it is a major issue, and I'm very happy you took it also from that angle. It was a little different. Now, let us take some calls, because we have a lot of them. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
On your panel. Reverend Osley was talking earlier about legislation to deal with elder abuse, which I think is quite in order. I want to say, however, that there's such a thing as the National Committee on Aging, which has in fact been dealing with this issue from many aspects, and the committee has submitted documents, etc., which I believe some of which have been gone into legislation with respect to elder abuse. Now, there may be things that need to be tweaked in it, but I just wanted to make him aware that there has been such a push to already deal with a lot of those items with respect to elder abuse.
Thank you, sir, for your question. Bishop Adley, would you like to respond?
Yeah, I agree with the caller, and I thank him for that submission. The point I was really trying to make is that we must not only have legislation, but it must be robust. There are some things in Barbados that we must be tough about, and there should be no compromise. Elder abuse, child abuse, these things are seemingly becoming rife in Barbados. That is not naturally, in my view, a part of our culture. And the Barbados Labour Party holds the view that there's some things that we have to be absolutely tough about, and we need further legislation in areas like this.
What I would ask you, Reverend Atherley, as well as Ms. Eastman and Mr. Shalbo, have your parties taken any look at possibility of having a ministry devoted primarily to the elderly? That ministry would bring together all the different agencies that work in elderly for affairs, because what you have are a number of these different departments dotted in different ministries. But given the avalanche of senior citizens that we're going to have from 2020 going forward, would it not be better to bring everything under one specific ministry so that there can be proper coordination and a level of efficiency of services to be rendered? Your response, anyone?
Well, I think under the Barbados Labour Party, an effort was made to bring all social services together. And as has been the tradition in Barbados, I believe the Democratic Labour Party did not dismantle that. So I believe there has already been an effort to do that. Mm-hmm. What I would say, though, is if you want a greater consolidation, you can bring that together under a particular ministry, but certainly the Progressive Party is against the proliferation of ministries and ministers in Barbados.
All right. We take a next call. This is Brass Tax. Good morning. You're on the People's Parliament.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to speak on disability. I heard the panel spoke about letting people with disability have a chance to work. Well, let me tell you my dilemma. In 2008, I became visually impaired. I was working at a well-known hotel. I had over 30 years of service. I'm a massage therapist. I was doing everything, even though I was declared visually impaired. I was still doing my duty as a therapist. There was no incident. Right, but I was laid off because they said because I'm visually impaired. So I would like, right, that they really look into that not because you're visually impaired or you have a disability, you can't work. And I think it is so wrong, right, to be unfair because of you can't see anymore, right? You don't have to see to know a person's body, because I know for sure that the best massage therapist is a blind one that I heard of, right? So, and I went to another country and I did a massage, and the person who I did the massage on, he had a Cuban massage therapist and he had an English massage therapist. And when I did his massage, he said, you know what, you're the best. So it's not that because of a disability of blindness that you can't do your work, but I think we need to enhance the law that people, even when you have when you're gone blind or anything, that you can still work, because it's not that you can't work. You still know what to do, how to do it.
Thank you so very much for calling. And I sincerely hope that someone will hire you again, because clearly, as you said, you have the skills and you know how to touch as far as the human body is concerned. And people who are visually impaired generally are very sensitive in terms of touch. Anyway, I'll let the panel respond. Anyone wants to respond?
Yeah, I would say our position in Solutions Barbados obviously would be to encourage anyone with any disability to work. It doesn't matter what disability you have, and even if it's a disability with your hands, that we can put training courses in place where you can carry on with your vocation even though you're impaired in that way. For you as a visually impaired person, and as the moderator said, you're more than capable of continuing with your vocation, which is massage therapy, and it's a wonderful thing. So I don't see why not you cannot continue with that.
But I think the issue here, though, is actually having some regulations in place where this level of discrimination does not take place. I think this is what this lady is really talking about. And I think this is something that we explored earlier. See, Bishop Bradley, you're shaking your head.
Yes, you that's the crux of the matter, because you can't talk about equal opportunity unless you're talking about non-discrimination, mm-hmm. non-discriminatory legislation as well. And that's her issue. I'm sorry to hear about her plight. I'm sure she's not the only one in Barbados who has suffered mm-hmm. In that way. So you provide opportunity. You got to make sure that people understand that there's sanctions to be faced if you demonstrate discrimination.
Lynette, yes, you want to?
Yes, Barbados is a country of laws. I don't think that there are any people in the world who have a greater respect for legislation. But legislation often is not the solution to a lot of the social problems that we have. And I continue to see lawmakers and leaders in this country continue to focus on legislation as if that can be the solution. Now, the members of the disabled community in Barbados have not been well served by us. That is a fact. We treat individuals who are blind, for example, as though they should not have access to the knowledge that I spoke about before. They're treated differently, as if there's something wrong with their brain because they cannot see. And that is what we have done for many years. And those matters need to be addressed. In terms of looking at education as a social service, those individuals should be able to access equally the knowledge that other Barbadians are able to access. And when you start that whole process in treating children equally, you will find that the persons who become the employers or the managers or whatever else will have a different attitude, because they would have been at school with them, even though they might get certain special services that others may not need. And they would recognize that these individuals are quite capable. But we have defaulted in that we have discriminated against people with disabilities as a country for many years. So then it is not surprising that when an individual reaches the workplace, that that continues, because that is a part of our culture, and it has also been accepted in our country as being correct. When me personally, I find it extremely embarrassing that Barbados is still so backward, I would say, in terms of the facilities and the social services that it provides, particularly to people who are disabled. So the United Progressive Party certainly will focus on this as an area that is very, very important to us, because you simply cannot say that you have a society where people are being treated equally if the people who are disabled from the outset are going to be treated differently and are not going to have equal access to the knowledge that I spoke of earlier.
Thank you, Ms. Eastman. That caller, the visually impaired caller, could you call us back here and leave your number with the production assistant, and we will get back to you. We'll take another call. This is Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the People's Parliament. We're looking at social services. Good morning. Are you there?
Good morning.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I want to put a question before the panel. This is with regard to housing. Now, the current administration has promised some occupants of government housing units that they would provide an opportunity to purchase the housing units they're currently occupying. But this has been long in coming for most of the occupants. Also, this is the other question. We still have a huge waiting list of applicants for housing units at NHC, some for over 20 years. Now you want to know what is the policy of all the parties who are represented there regarding housing development in this country. I'll put down a listen.
Thank you very much. I'll start, Mr. Chabot, Solutions Barbados. Okay. Ms. Eastman?
Thank you. Thank you, Sanka. Well, a housing policy would be a very broad policy. But as I said before in my opening remarks, one of the objectives of any social services policy is to ensure that each person has a decent standard of living. And successive governments over time have made efforts to provide different means to have individuals access housing, whether it was by actually building housing units or whether it was by ensuring that ordinary people could access mortgages, because the rules were changed with respect to that, so that there was easier access and that people could build their own homes. Now, housing and low-cost housing is a major issue for every single country. The proposal which the Democratic Labour Party made in, either the last election or the one before that, unfortunately, it was conceptualized and therefore implemented in a very untidy fashion, because the rules had to do with the number of years occupancy. But of course, every year, every tenant adds on an additional year, so that it was not fixed. People will become entitled over time. And then it doesn't seem as though, in terms of the transfer, that was done. So there are individuals who understand that they're to own the property, but they have no title deeds, basically. So the entire initiative was conceptualized and I think not thought through properly, and then no great effort was made to implement it in a serious fashion. Now, with respect to policy, certainly low-income housing is a policy that we would pursue, but we believe that individuals should be getting value for money. we do have situations where individuals were given access to large tracts of land, I understand at a peppercorn rate, then to build houses that really weren't low income. The houses are valued at between $300,000 and $400,000. And certainly that was not the best use of land which the state had access to. So certainly we would never pursue an initiative like that one. There are many Barbadians who, when given access to land especially, and also to low-income housing, are able to develop the properties over time and really are able to build wonderful homes over time. But they need to have access to the land, and that is the difficulty. And therefore, it would be our policy to ensure that individuals have access to that land. We do not believe that the best utilization of our land resources is to build these very tiny homes for individuals. There are other developments that, to me, were more sensible, where you could call them apartments or you can call them townhouses, and they were built with different options like one bedroom, two bedrooms, three bedrooms, so that an individual starting out, for example, might rent a one bedroom. And then maybe as they get a family, they might seek to rent another one. But one of the issues, though, with the low-income housing is that in many other countries, if you elevate your situation whereby you no longer need that low-income housing and you're in a rental position, most people are, if they're no longer qualified, they would be expected to give up that particular housing solution and upgrade to another housing solution. So that is another matter that really has not been pursued by the National Housing Corporation, even though that was their policy.